Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us today. Excited to be here, as always, to share the most scintillating hour of finance radio. If that's driving you guys crazy when I say that, my wife still laughs at me. Anyway, she goes, honey, it's not really scintillating. And I said, that's, babe, that's your opinion. Okay, I think this stuff is fascinating. Anyway, it's for all the finance nerds out there, right? We shouldn't have to hide from that. But I got a lot to talk about today, as always. Been saying it for months, say it pretty much every week. Holy smokes, there's just so much going on. It's exciting, to say the least. But we're going to go through the hit list today. So we got market update, as always. Going to talk some more dirtiest word in investing. Just going to share some client stories with you. I know there's a lot of skeptics out there. We did our class last week. Had a great turnout. And it's just, man, it's so much fun. The class was over at about 10:30, I think. We ran a little over. Q&A session went long. We held to our guns, though. The class was over. Only took like an hour and 10 minutes. Ran a little over. But mostly because of questions. Everybody was really engaged. And that's why I love doing it. Just because if you guys listen to the show on a regular basis, you're probably a bit of a finance nerd like me. And it's kind of like the finance version of Comic-Con, right? Where all these people dress up as Marvel, you know, superheroes and everything. They all show up together because they can be weird together, right? Well, we do these we do these seminars so we can all nerd out together. And it's a blast. Anyway, we ended up staying. I don't think we left there until 10 to 1 because we stood around with a group of people just talking economics, finance, quantitative, you know, all the stuff that we discuss on the show. So it was, and it was just great to meet you guys. It's so much fun. A bunch of you have already come down to the office for meetings. And guys, if you missed it, if you wanted to go but didn't, if you're hesitating to call or don't, look, I had several comments from people there. They were like, okay, so what's the, they were looking for a hitch. You know, they were looking for, where's the sales pitch thing? I've told you on the radio. I've told you many times. We don't do it. Educate yourselves. Let's pretend for a second that we are telling you 100% the truth, that we can actually drastically decrease your risk, drastically decrease your costs, and increase your upside potential. What if that was the case? Why aren't you calling? Why aren't you at least looking into it? Why aren't you at least getting the booklet? I mean, guys, we've been on the air now for over 3 years, right? Dory's a client. He's endorsing the show or the program, the firm, the whole deal, right? We do it every day. This is what we do for a living. And I got to tell you, and we're going to get into this more in the show, but and before we get in the market update, there's a thing that a writer I really like, Ben Hunt, right, writes an article or website called Epsilon Theory. Really esoteric, but also really smart, really practical. Don't always agree with him. Quite frequently disagree with him about politics. But if you want a good read, go Google Ben Hunt Epsilon Theory. Anyway, fascinating read. And one of the things that he discusses quite frequently is just, you know, he's talking about the system, talking about markets and how crazy they are, and, you know, talking about the crazy stuff that investors do. And this ties in directly. And this is why I want you to read it, because he's very good at poking holes in the narratives, right? This is sort of what he does. And he talks a lot about game theory. Okay, and I don't want to get into a huge thing about game theory here. But one of the games that gets played in game theory is the common knowledge game, is what it's referred to. Now listen, I'm probably botching it. If Ben Hunt heard my analysis, he'd probably cringe. But just stay with me, because we're going to get the broad strokes of it correctly. But that part of game theory, right, the common knowledge game, really points to a dynamic in human behavior where we act as if everybody else knows this, right? To many of the people on this radio station, I'm using this as an example, don't want to alienate anybody. This is a PC program, tongue in cheek. Okay, you know I'm joking. It's not something that we we don't really value PC much. A game theory thing for people listening to this radio show, by and large, would be, well, everybody wants Hillary to win. Everybody knows that Donald Trump would be a disaster, right? That'd be an example of the common knowledge game, meaning that we are making assumptions typically based in some combination of cognitive dissonance and then also being in somewhat of an echo chamber, okay? And then we just assume that's the way it's done. Well, that impacts us on the investment side. And what I mean by that is when you're going by the book and you've been trained in multiple schools of managing portfolios and risk management and diversification and asset allocation and fee reduction, you just sort of assume that's the way it's done. And then, you sit down and you start going through people's portfolios, okay? Now, a prime example of this would be the Vanguard approach, right? Passive indexed funds versus mutual funds. If you have any question about what works better, let me save you some suspense and some thought, okay? The indexing strategy works better. There's a reason why Vanguard has become the largest asset manager in the history of mankind. There's a good reason for it, because it works better. And here's why. The mutual funds, by and large, are composed in such a way to mimic the index but give them a chance to outperform. What do we know? We know that 94% of the time, the mutual fund underperforms the market. So the brilliant idea that Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, had was, wait a second, why don't we get rid of all the fees and just get market performance? Okay, that has been an absolute boon. That has been a big win for investors. Make more money, pay less in fees. And the reason for that is, like I said, now we're in a vehicle that just gives us market performance, less about 90 basis points, anywhere from 70 to 90 basis points. And I've made an error on this show, and I'm going to address two errors I've made. First, I've made an error talking about 12b1 fees. And again, cognitive dissonance on my part. I thought everybody also understood that there was an inherent management fee. But when we go through client portfolios, what we typically see is a mutual fund has anywhere from 0.7 all the way up to 0.2 and 0.3. We looked at an account today where they had 1.7% total management fees inside the mutual fund. Now, remember, that mutual fund is attempting to beat the S&P 500, and we know historically, that they're only going to do it 6 or 7% of the time, okay? Now, on top of it, you tack on a 1.7% internal fee, or let's even call it a 1% fee, and how often do you think you're going to come out ahead? The answer is almost never, which is why Vanguard has become so popular. Now, we take the Vanguard approach to a different level. We use the exact same types of investments, but we put that algorithmic defensive wrapper over it that protects the portfolio in the downturn. If you want to know how we do it, you can call me, you can email me, go to Bulwark Capital Management, and I'll just show you the returns. And it's done a phenomenal job. It's lockstep with the market on the way up, and then it did a great job of defending capital during 08-09. And I don't want to cite performance because we'll get into it, but let's just put it this way. It did significantly better than the S&P during the crash, significantly. And because of that, guys, because it protected capital during the downswing, the return on that portfolio over time has significantly outpaced the S&P, right? We avoid the big hit, and you're going to have inherently better returns going forward. But the other thing that we're keeping an eye on is that Vanguard focus on lowering fees. So we sit down and look at these portfolios all the time, and we compare the performance, but we know what the answer is going to be. Right? If both portfolios are driven by exactly the same forces, the S&P 500, the market, and one costs you 0.2% and the other one costs you 1.2%, what do you think is going to win? Now, here's the tragic part of it. Most investors don't take the time to sit down and do the math like we did for a client of ours that had a $2.5 million portfolio recently. That's actually been a round number we've been working with a lot lately. But anyway, had a $2.5 million portfolio, and they were all mutual funds. We compared the net performance of our ETF strategy versus their mutual funds, and just on a performance basis, our portfolio significantly won, okay? Then you factor into the fees, and the performance difference spread out to like 40 to 50% difference over the last 10 years. Okay, because think about it. On a $2.5 million portfolio, if you are paying an excess fee of 1% that you don't need to pay, because you can get an ETF that doesn't have that, and it's going to win anyway, heads up, 94% of the time. Okay, on a $2.5 million portfolio, right, what does that save you over a 10-year period of time? Again, I'll spare you. It saves you between, depending on the growth of the portfolio, it saves you between $500,000 to $700,000 over a 20-year run. Guys, $500,000 to $700,000 on fees. And people are like, well, Zach, how do we know that you're being forthright against fees? Because you're not thinking about it correctly. I'm a registered investment advisor, meaning the more we pay in fees, the less your account grows and the less I make. Remember, my income is tied to your asset performance. That's how I get paid. I don't make money buying and selling things and trading, and I don't make any commissions. We don't have any trade costs. There's nothing to make. So we're watching fees like a hawk, and I'll tell you, we can just show you the performance difference. And so many of you are sitting out there in these mutual fund accounts, and it's just nonsense. And then a lot of you, remember, on top of that 1% fee you got inside the darn thing, then you're paying a 1 to 1.5% advisory fee. You literally have a portfolio that can't win. And it hasn't. We can show you. We're not just projecting. We sit there and show the clients, look, here's the difference. If you go with us and you're paying 0.4 to 0.5% total expense on your portfolio with no additional trade costs and no additional fees, the mutual fund portfolio can't win. Think about it. They're like, well, what if mutual fund does really good? Look, the mutual fund better outperform us by 30% over the next 10 years just to tie. And the difference is just in the fee. And every single time we run the analysis for clients, they look at me shocked. They're like, what? That can't be right. And I'm like, guys, it is. This is the data from the mutual fund company themselves. You're paying 1.2% or 1% or 0.9% internal fees, and then your advisor is tacking on a 1.5% advisory fee. And this isn't just for the mom and pop shops or the smaller firms. We see this with all the big ones. I don't want to call any of them out. I'm not trying to demean any other firm, or we don't bad talk the competition. But gosh darn it, we're pounding the table just saying, guys, it's crazy. You're taking excess risk. You're paying all the for nothing. For nothing. And then I'm not even getting into the tax efficiency of the portfolio. Right? When you buy a mutual fund, you buy into their cost basis. And what I mean is, if they bought Microsoft in 93 and they're holding it today, okay, you're buying into that mutual fund and you're inheriting their cost basis. So what can happen, and I'm not saying it happens all the time, but we saw it a lot in 08-09, where clients may have bought a mutual fund in, let's say, 2006, 2007, right? And then the market plunges, the mutuals down, mutual funds down 35, 40%, and the client goes to sell it and they get a capital gains hit. They owe money. And they're looking around going, how can I owe money? I'm down 40%. I'm like, because you bought in at their cost basis. When you use the ETF portfolio that we use as our general, you know, exposure, that doesn't happen. When you purchase an ETF, it's like a stock. You buy it at that price. If it makes money, you pay cap gains on the gain. If it's inside of an IRA, it doesn't matter. But if it isn't, you pay cap gains on the you know, on the gain. And you don't pay any cap gains if it's a loss, right? It works like a stock. It's just so inefficient. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't think there are going to be a lot of mutual funds left in the next 10 to 15 years because of this dynamic. When you add up the excess cost and the fact that they lose head-to-head against ETFs, 94%. I mean, what if we had a casino that said, look, both of these games pay out 2.5x. One gives you a 94% chance to win. One gives you a 94% chance to lose. Nobody would play that other game. Yet all too often, I'm dealing with clients that have these portfolios chock full of mutual funds with all these internal costs. And just switching to that ETF strategy would have increased their performance by 25% over the last 10 years. It's frustrating. And 25%, guys. Remember that you're taking the same risk, essentially. It's the same stuff. You're just reducing. I mean, it's just a win. Who couldn't use an extra $250,000 to $500,000? I mean, it's just crazy. And then what's even crazier is they've got the same setup on the bond side. Okay, so now the fees inside of bond funds naturally are a little bit lower, but let's say they're all in 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, somewhere like that. That's the internal cost of the mutual fund bond fund. And then, you got the advisor's 1.5% fee hanging over the top of it. So now you got a 2% total fee set up on your bond portfolio, and it's paying 3.5. That means if rates don't go up, if everything stays where it's are and you win, you make 1.5%, you're paying 2% in fees. Gosh, it's so frustrating. And then I saw other portfolios. A guy came in, $3 million portfolio, great guy, known him for a long time. And his portfolio's done really well. It's done really well. He's done a good job. He built the majority of it. But he had 44% of his money in one stock. And he's working with an advisor. And then there's the story I told you last week where the advisor on the other side of it tried to load this guy up with 81% of his $3.4 million portfolio, tried to load him up in these income-paying annuities, these guaranteed income annuities, which, they're not nearly as bad as a variable annuity, but again, there's fees. And whenever we add that stuff on, when we make it an income annuity, we are guaranteed to be like lowering the rate of growth, right? Because we're increasing the cost and we're putting a cap on that annuity. So I just see it on both sides where I'm like, holy smokes. Investors are just being taken on a ride. Hey, there's a better way to do it. Bottom line, there's just a much better way to do it. So anyway, a little bit of a rant there before we get in the market open, but That's that cognitive dissonance. That's that common knowledge game where I'll walk out of a meeting, guys are like, what? And I'm like, I'm just shocked that people are being, I just can't believe people are paying this much in fees, thinking they're getting something out of it. It just shocks me. B, I can't believe how poorly the portfolios are managed. And C, I can't believe that the clients don't have a clue. And typically, the advisor doesn't either. And it doesn't sound like a big deal, guys, but I'm telling you, we did a portfolio a week and a half ago where just the money we saved them in fees. Now, our portfolio had solidly outperformed over the last 10 years, over the last 20 years, just performance. You know, just it is what it is. But on fees alone, listen to this, on fees alone, using our approach, they were going to pay $1.1 million less over the next 25 years. $1.1 million. That was a big portfolio, $5.5 million. Do you know, when you have that kind of drag on a portfolio, guys, it's almost impossible for it to win. I mean, let alone it hasn't. I mean, the portfolio we put together was blowing it out of the water at significantly less risk, too. Guys, man, I just, like I say, it's your life, right? I mean, if you know, that's the other thing that really frustrates me. You got these advisors plugging these funds in. It's just a program. They plug you into a program, and you're paying them rent on your assets. That's it. Because you could get the same funds on your own. They're not revolutionary. Then half the time we go through and look, we go through our portfolio analysis program, and we look at it, and half the time, 50, 60, even 70% of the funds have a Morningstar rating of 3 stars or below. 5 stars is the highest you can get. 3 stars or below, we'll see 2-star funds, 1-star funds, which means that they're expensive and they've grossly underperformed the market. So you're literally paying more. It's like paying for a BMW and buying a Hyundai. That's literally what you're doing. Hey, I'd like to sell you this new, and no knock on Hyundais, guys. No knock at all. Okay, we got this beautiful Hyundai Elantra for you. It's only going to cost you $54,999, $54,000. Who's stepping up? The irony is that people are doing that with their investment portfolio, which is going to finance the rest of their lives. Kind of important. And that's what they're doing. If you're paying an excess fee and you're getting excess returns, great. But that's just not what's happening. 94% of the time, the mutual fund underperforms the market. So how about we tack on 200 basis points? How's that sound to you? 2%. Oh, see, I get fired up about it. And these guys aren't trying to rob from you. Most of the advisors don't get it. They go into the bank. They do what I did. They go into the brokerage firm. The people at the brokerage firm, the smart older guys, right, the gray hairs, they tell them, look, son, this is how you do it. And they don't question it because all they've been taught is how to buy and sell financial products. They don't understand. They haven't done what I've done, which is worked at a mutual fund company, worked at an investment bank, managed portfolios. They don't understand what kind of drag higher fees can put on a portfolio. Not to mention the performance. There's no active management going on. They're not looking out for you. They're not tacking when the market's anyway. It kills me, Jer. Kills me. But there's a much more efficient way to do it. And give us a call, guys. So anyway, let's get it. I went off the rails there, Jer, but we're going to get in the market update here. Okay, so market update. Oh, here's another mistake I've made, guys. And I just want to say it, right? We talk about charlatans. We talk about bad data. I have a confession to make. I realized by talking to some of the listeners at the seminar that I had said we're at 3/4 of declining earnings on the S&P this year. That is not accurate. I apologize. Okay. What I should have said, what I meant to say, is that earnings growth is slowing down. Okay. Fairly drastically. So we're not losing yet. But right along with all the economic indicators that are moving, to, again, a lot of yellow lights, maybe a couple red, but by and large, a lot of yellows, very few greens. I'd say on the margin, a little more red than there is green, but a lot of yellow lights. And the mass and the significant slowdown, massive's too strong a word, but the significant slowdown in earnings growth is one of those. Okay, and so I said the verbiage I used, or the vernacular I used, whatever, the word I used was an earnings decline. That is not true. The growth rate of earnings declined. Okay, and like I've said on the show before, We're humans. We're going to get it wrong. Difference is we're going to stand up and take it on the chin and say, hey, sorry about that. I hope that didn't mislead any of you and lead you into panic or anything like that. So, but we're keeping an eye on that. And listen, we had a bunch of PMI numbers, purchasing manager index numbers, which give us really good reads over the next quarter or two about what the managers in the business see going on. And again, they're mixed, but this market has rocketed last year. Like, this is just a typical growth slowdown here in the economy. And everybody on CNBC, Bubble Vision, we like to call it, is saying, oh, looks like those fears were overbaked. Look, they could end up being, but there has not been this bounce back in growth. Now, the market is assuming that's the case. And one of the things that's troubling to us is, in the past, we saw bounce back in growth, and the thought was, is maybe it was transitory. Maybe it was just a kind of what we call a dead cat bounce. And it ended up being that wasn't the case, right? The market kept, we haven't seen the bounce yet. As a matter of fact, most of the leading indicators we're looking at continue to worsen. Again, not red lights, but it's certainly not reflective of this meteoric shoot up we've seen in the markets this year. So keeping an eye on that. And again, I just think caution is it. No panic. I listened to another show on this radio where the sky is falling. I listened to another one where, oh, it's a great time to... the truth is somewhere in the middle. This is now the longest bull market in U.S. history. It is both, I think we're now second largest in terms of top to bottom performance coming off the bottom for the S&P. I mean, again, truth lies somewhere in the middle. Okay, just let's not live on the extremes. And guys, that's why you need risk management. You don't need to sell out of all your stocks and run for the hills. You also shouldn't have 44% in one stock. Happy medium, right, guys? And that's where the risk management process comes in. We just sit there and go, look, here's what you need. Here's the amount of fireproofing we need in the portfolio. We understand that this part could lose some over here, but that's an accepted amount, because if things continue to rally, like this year, how bad did things look like at the end of last year? They looked abysmal, right? Why do we not try to time markets? Look what you'd have missed out on. It doesn't mean we go pedal the metal and load up 44% on one stock. It's just balance. It's proper portfolio construction, keeping in mind on fees. Here's the other one. Jerry, we were talking about Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Work with him on our clients' long-term care. We don't sell it. He's the expert, not us. He had a client come into him this week, okay? And we all know long-term care is expensive, okay? All know long-term care is expensive. He has a client come into him this week. They got an account at a major firm. Not going to name names. Don't want to call anybody out. These are nice enough people, and I don't think they're not doing anything nefarious or trying to get one over on clients. Just outdated thinking. Anyway, he's got a client that all in had a $1.5 million portfolio, and they were paying about 2%. When you added up the cost, the management fee was about 1.25, and I think the average internal fees they had on their mutual funds ended up being like 0.75. So their total cost per year, and it was a very conservative portfolio. I think it was 50% bonds or something. Their total cost on it was 2%. Okay, so needless to say, the portfolio had not done very well. It's hard to make money, guys, if you're 50% in bonds and you're paying 2% management fees. You'd literally be better off pulling that money out of your advisor, paying no fees, and plugging it into a CD. Now, we have a better option than that. But, I mean, if you don't trust us or you don't want to work with us, take your money out of the bond funds and stick it in a CD. You take less risk, you'll make more money, and you don't pay any fees. Right? The bond is the easiest thing to do. I just still can't believe people have this much money in bonds. It's nuts. Anyway, they wanted long-term care. Okay, they needed long-term care, but the long-term care insurance was going to cost them $15,000 a year. Not very cheap. Well, we ran our portfolio, which had blown the socks off their portfolio, and their all-in cost on their portfolio with us was 0.4. With what we saved them in fees, that's their long-term care insurance. So they go from the other firm, they move to us, and get a portfolio that has blown theirs away. that has less risk, and the money we save them in fees was about $19,000 a year. Their premium for long-term care insurance is $15,000 a year. So with us, they get a better performing portfolio. They've got active management on that portfolio, quarterly reviews and constant contact from us with our weekly market updates that we mail the client, the whole deal, plus long-term care, and save $4,000 a year to boot. That's what I'm talking about. What are you paying the fees for? I'm fired up today. And look, I'm glad we could do that for this client. I just continue to be shocked that people are accepting this horrific performance and they're paying all this money for it and they're taking all this risk. The money we save you in fees could pay for your long-term care insurance. You can get all of it together and better performance and active management. And it seems stupid saying this, but if that interests you, if less risk, better performance, massive saving on fees, being able to afford long-term care where you didn't think you... If that interests you, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. If you don't want to call us, if that's too personal, go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Shoot us an email. We can correspond over email. We can meet in person. We can get you the booklet. We can talk over the phone. What, guys, there's a better way. Save yourself money. Improve your performance. Improve your risk management. Get long-term care thrown in. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Now, we got to run. I've gone over. We got to run. We're going to get into another segment, Dirtiest Word in Investing. We're going to talk to you about real client results coming up right next. So stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, I know Bulwark Capital's built on risk management. Explain that to me.
Most advisors are trying to do the right thing by increasing their clients' allocation to bonds as they get older. But thanks to record low rates, a lot of investors have paid more in fees over the past 8 years than they've actually made in their bond portfolios.
Well, that math just doesn't add up.
Dory, that's where our bond replacement strategy comes in. It goes up with a rising stock market, yet it's insured against loss in a falling market while not having any management fees.
And Zach has all these strategies in his brand new version of Common Sense Investing. Give him a call. Get your free copy. Call 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement in place where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What is the best age to look into long-term care insurance?
You know, Dory, we have plans that will help people up to age 85, but here's what you need to know. It's not your age that allows you to get long-term care insurance. It's your health. So the best time to look into getting a plan is when you're healthy and you can still qualify. If you have a question for me, send it to me at 525longtermcare.com. You can also learn about the new programs that pay you back if you never use your plan, and you can sign up for one of our free upcoming classes. And don't forget to join me every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
We indeed chose the best plan that pays us back if we never use it. Learn what may be the best option for you at one of Brian's upcoming classes. Classes are free, and you'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Seating's limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Okay, and we are back again. And I'd be remiss, gotta mention it, got my buddy with me today, my little guy, Cyrus, who turns 5 in like a week and a half. You know, that's the thing about parenthood, life in general, right? You get so tired of people telling you, oh, time goes so fast, you'll look back one day, You know, you come up as a kid, you hear that, oh, yeah, 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 whatever. That's what old people say. And then our baby is turning five. It's just a mind blower to me. I feel like we were just in the hospital. Incredible. And my oldest now is nine. Approaching the teenage years. Anyway, so I got my buddy with me today. It's always fun to have him. He's a riot. He's our crazy kid. He's missing a bunch of teeth. Everybody's like, man, he's so young to be losing teeth. And I go, well, losing is probably not the right word. Ejecting is more like it. The kid is, he's just a wild man. Three different times he's busted teeth out. Two of them, he didn't even cry. Anyway, little insight there. I'm still fired up from that last segment. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. Basic line is this, okay? We're working with Brian Ott like we always do. He's the only guy I trust to do long-term care insurance. It's not something we do, right? I try to avoid conflicts of interest. I've had other guys, why don't you sell long-term care insurance? That's a revenue stream you're not taking. Because I haven't dedicated my life to long-term care insurance. And if I'm not willing to do that, I'm not willing to subject our clients to it. And just so you know, it is illegal for Brian and I to have any type of financial arrangement. We work together because we believe in what each other does. Okay? Plain and simple. So anyway, he gets a client, $1.5 million portfolio at one of the respected firms around here, major firm. Every one of you has heard the name of the firm. And all in all, they're about 50% stocks, 50% bonds, and their total expenses on the account. They weren't aware of it, but we did the analysis and showed them the fees inside the mutual funds they were paying, and they were paying an all-in cost of about 2% a year. They wanted long-term care insurance, but couldn't afford it. By coming to us, we gave them a portfolio that had blown theirs out of the water with less risk and took their total fees, all in fees on their portfolio, down to 0.4%. Okay. The money we saved them on fees was slightly more than the premiums they would pay per year for their long-term care insurance. 15 grand a year. We saved them, I want to say, $18,000 or $19,000 a year on fees. With a better portfolio that has significantly whooped theirs, right? With substantially less risk, more upside, less risk, drastically reduced fees, and the fee savings alone paid for the long-term care insurance. I've been saying it for 3.5 years, guys. There's a better way to do it. There's a more tax-efficient way to do it. There's way better cost, you know, a sensitive way to do it, cost-efficient way to do it. And we can do it with far less risk and still win, drastically outperform this particular portfolio. And the savings on the fees alone finances your long-term care. Anyway, shoot, how many of you could use an extra 15 or 20 grand to help you pay for a kid through college? You could have the savings sitting right there in terms of the fees you're paying every year. It's craziness. So anyway, if that interests you, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Anyway, one of the things we want to get into here is the dirtiest word in investing. One of the ways that we lower clients' fees is by using our bond replacement strategy. Funny enough, the bond replacement strategy is the thing that everybody is the most skeptical about, yet it is the thing that our existing clients love the most. It's not the thing that's made them the most money, but they get it, right? They've seen the impact. They've seen them blow out bond performance while taking no risk and paying no fees. So we're doing a portfolio review. One of our older clients, actually, not older in terms of age, but been with us a while. Part of her portfolio, she had a pretty expansive portfolio. Part of it was, whole thing was somewhere in the mid $3 million when we started. It's grown to more than that now. But what we did with part of her portfolio is we stuck in a $500,000 fixed indexed annuity that we like to use as a bond replacement. And she wanted, for a variety of different reasons, she wanted one that had a guaranteed income rider. Now, I know I've preached against those. We educated her about that guaranteed income rider. We told her it would lower her performance and increase her fees, walked her through it. But in her particular situation, as part of her portfolio, it made sense. So that's what we did. Now, we were doing a review of this yesterday, and she is just coming up on having this particular part of her portfolio for 4 years. Started with $500,000. And by the end of this month, she's going to be at about 620 grand. If any of you are sitting at home wondering what that is, if my math is correct, I think it's right around 4.2% is what she's made per year on this thing. Now, meanwhile, it also has that lifetime income rider that at any time she can convert that to income and it'll pay her about $43,000 a year for the rest of her life. But if she wanted to cash it out, she's also got about 620 grand. She invested 500,000 4 years ago. All right. So if you don't know and you haven't kept up on your bond portfolio, guys, that's blown away a lot of bond portfolios that don't have a guaranteed lifetime income. And in general, like I said, 98% of the time we don't use these products. But I'm telling you about it because this is a lower growth product because of the guaranteed life, right? And I explained that to her. But like I said, it fit her need. And that only happens, to, like I said, probably, oh man, I say 2%, probably more like 5 if we're, but I mean, I don't think we've written a product like that in the last 2.5 years, just to let you know, just because the reduction of fees, it helps performance so much, right? It was like I was saying in the last segment. Another client we're reviewing, he went with the growth product, no income rider, same time frame, invested $300,000, he's up $110,000. Paying no fee while being insured against loss. Started with $300,000, he's at $410,000. These are real stories, guys. We're not guaranteeing those same results, right? I'm not, but guys, and I'm not telling you about the best performance because that's not what we do. We focus on the averages. I sit down all the time and show the clients the performance on these fees. They go, or on these products. They go, Zach, well, what about that number? That's way higher than what you're saying. And I said, look, guys, this is the way investments work. This is a range. We're pointing to you the worst performance. That's what we're counting on. If we get the worst performance, we're going to do it at less risk, less fees than bonds. If we get more than that, great. We probably will. But great. Look, the easiest problem in the world to solve is ending up with more money than you thought you'd have. Shoot a couple trips to Nordstrom's if you're in my house. That'll fix an overfunding problem pretty quick. But again, we're not on here pitching snake oil. You go, oh, it sounds too good to be true. Guys, we're talking about 5.5% to 6.5%. Almost your entire adult lives, your bond portfolio's paid more than that. They're not now because you're living in the anomaly. And now what I see all the time is people paying 2% for a bond portfolio that's paying them 1%. It's crazy. And if you take that money, you insure it against loss, and you start making 5 to 6, heck, even if you start making 4.5 with no fees, no risk, holy smokes, that's a big deal. Everybody's always talking about stocks, and I look at them, I go, why aren't you concerned about bonds? Well, stocks make a bigger difference. Yeah, because your bond portfolio has made you next to nothing over the last 10 years. You get that working for you, and it's a big difference. And you're lowering your risk. And he goes, okay, so bonds are bad, Zach. And news. No, didn't say that. As a matter of fact, rates will go up. People in these bond portfolios will start taking a bloodbath. They'll fire their advisor. Or they'll make their advisor cash out their bond fund when they're down 25 to 30%. And then they're going to buy one of these fixed index annuities with no fees and no cap. They're finally going to get it. You know what we're going to be doing at that time? Probably getting out of the annuities back into bonds. And that's what happens. Everybody wants insurance after the fire, including the advisor. Nobody wants to go out on a limb. Nobody wants to do the research and go, wait a second, wait, we got lowest interest rates in human history. If interest rates rise, that means these bonds are going to lose money. In the meantime, and when that doesn't happen, we're still making less than the inflation rate. This probably doesn't make much sense. And if you don't think it makes any sense, it doesn't. It doesn't. Hey, there's a better way. And if I sound fired up, I am, because I forget. I forget because I'm in our world, and I forget until I look at a bunch of these portfolios and I just shake my head. It's not that they're trying to get one over on you. It's they don't know anything else.
But annuities have really high fees.
No, variable annuities have high fees.
But annuities don't give good returns.
5 to 6? What have you been peddling? And again, it's not because they're so amazing. I mean, they do a great job. But it's because the bar has never been lower. And I don't want to offend anybody, but it's sort of like bragging about being, and you can't say this word anymore. I found this out. You can't say midget. But it's like being the tallest midget. Congratulations, you're the tallest midget, but guess what? You're still really short. It's like, I'm the best bond fund. Great. And net of fees, your client still made less than the inflation rate and could have made double that in CDs. Congratulations. Great job.
Well, the bonds aren't the most important.
Then what do you have them in there?
Well, we have them in there because, Zach, they're going to go up when stocks go down.
Really? Newsflash. Hasn't for 10 years. Look at last year. Look at 08, 09. And here's the other thing. You've all got defense built into your portfolio. When did you need it the most? When did you need the defense the most? During the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression? Right? 08, 09? If we've got defense, when did we need it the most? What did the average bond fund do during 08, 09? Went down 25%. And people are still paying the fees, Chair. Oh. Hey, one portfolio at a time. Changing the world one portfolio at a time. And it's not, guys, and again, we're not the people that put 81% of the people into these products. It's a bond replacement. That's it. We're building standard, you know, normal portfolios. We've got dual approaches on the stock side, still low fees, still focus on protection against catastrophic loss. We're supplementing that in for a bond portfolio. Average clients paying 0.4 to 0.5 all in, saving them about 1% a year. On a $2 million account, that's 20 grand a year. Your advisor better be good because you're paying him an extra 20 G's. Who couldn't use an extra 20 G? If I was on the radio right now saying, hey, giving away 20 grand, how stock loaded would the phone go? But that's what we're doing, guys. Use the money to pay for your long-term care insurance. Use it to put your grandkids through college. Forget the better performance because that's going to happen too. The fees alone, 20 grand. What does that pay for two full out vacations a year for you and the wife in retirement? It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Anyway, I'm pumped for that Hawks game on Sunday. How do you like that for a transition? All right, so we got to take a quick break. I've gone on long enough. Want to get back. Want to talk about the tail wagging the dog and a little bit on Tesla while we still got some time. So anyway, stick with us. Got to take a quick break. And as always, guys, if what I said resonated with you, which it should, right? Save 20 grand a year. I'm talking about a $2 million portfolio, but that's just a $10,000 on a $1 million portfolio. $5,000 on a $500. You can do the math. And that's not a guarantee. That's on average. But give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Get the free booklet. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. If you don't want to talk to us on the phone, email in. We can go back and forth over email. You can talk to me on the phone. We can meet in person at your call. But for crying out loud, do it. Save yourself some money. Take less risk. Get better performance. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. Want to get right into it. So we called this tail wagging the dog. But before we get into that, got to talk about a little Tesla. Jared, did you see that new unveil of that new Tesla truck? You see it? Yeah, you saw it. the best part of it was is he's Musk gets out there on stage and he's trying to show him how cool it is, and he shows that he could take a sledgehammer to the door and not make a dent. Then he says they've got bulletproof glass, so he gives the guy like this, you know, like a hardball size bearing, you know, like a steel ball. He goes, throw it against the window. Guy throws it against the window. Window shatters. They start laughing. Well, maybe you threw it too hard. Anyway, it's just so funny. But, I mean, the truck. I personally think it's just a game of three-card Monty. I mean, I just, and here's why. If you own Tesla stock out there, I know I've been, I was talking bad about it when it hit 400. I was talking bad about it when it was down to 180. And yep, I'm still talking bad about it today. And let me tell you why. David Einhorn is the CEO or the owner, rather, of a hedge fund called Greenlight Capital. Has had a great historical run. Has had a tough time in the last 4 or 5 years because of the underperformance of value. Had a stellar year this year. But he is a very well-known short seller against Tesla. Now, he recently closed his short-selling position, which everybody on the Tesla side was like, oh, we won. We got him out. What those guys don't understand is those guys will pull their positions. When he sees Tesla weakening and the narrative behind it, he'll jump on it again. I guarantee you. But in his letter that he answered Musk back, because Musk taunted him the minute they released the news that they had sold their, or gotten out of their Tesla short position, which we have never advocated anybody do, right? Not recommendations. But what he shot back with Musk was, hey, we'd love to, because Musk said, you should come to the factory and we'll show you how you've been wrong. So Einhorn took him up on it, said, we'd love to. We'd also like to talk to your CFO. We'd like to take a look at some of the books. Can you open it up? Now, this is a publicly traded company, right? I mean, I know if somebody comes to our firm and says, well, I'd like to see wide open book. Here you go. I got nothing to hide. We do it with the SEC once a year. Musk went quiet. No word. Right. He knows the short interest against the stock. He knows what the naysayers are saying. So if it's real, if it really is everything he says, why is he playing this, you know, this shell game? Why won't he take it? I mean, think of what a boon that would be for the stock. If what he is saying is correct and all the people on the short side are wrong and the thesis is wrong and the financials are up to par and everything makes sense, everything checks out. Why wouldn't you say, okay, bring in one of the biggest Tesla skeptics, open up your books, let them talk to the CFO and go have at it? Well, I don't know. You be the judge. I've never seen anything like it. And yet they keep launching quote-unquote product reveals. I mean, they brought out the semi-truck, the product reveal, like 2 years ago. This thing's still not up there. I mean, he's like, well, why would he be introducing a new car? Because it's keep looking ahead. Right. Keep your hand over here and don't pay attention to how ridiculous my financials are. Keep stoking the fire. And if that wasn't the case, open your books. Well, we report to the SEC. Yeah. And your accounting doesn't make any sense. Why the SEC hasn't pulled the plug? I don't know. I don't understand why it took the SEC 7 years to uncover the Madoff fraud when they had a mathematical model proving it was a fraud 7 years before the thing blew up. I don't know, and that's not a knock on our good friends at the SEC. I've dealt with them several times. They've been nothing but fair and good with us. Right, but they are not, their job is not to know of every single fraud. It's impossible. So I think they take an undue amount of heat and scrutiny, especially the new ones, because they made a lot of changes since the Madoff thing happened. But you know, I look, if a company does it and this, you know, checks out, and there's only so much they can do. And I think people have this blind trust. You know, if it's on the news, if it's on CNBC, it can't be a fraud. Really? And I'm not saying definitively it is. I'm just saying that all the red flags pop up. If you're a guy like Musk that's got nothing to hide, why wouldn't you just end it all and say, yeah, come on in, check it out. That's what I'd do. I think it's what any rational human being would do. Unless you've got something to hide. But anyway, that truck reveal was just hilarious. I mean, the thing looked, sitting there going, man, do you think any cowboy or rancher is going to buy that thing? I mean, come on. Anyway, now tail wagging the dog. So this is one of the really big things that I want to explain, because we have been taught our entire lives as investors, if we want to know how the economy is doing, want to know how the country's doing, look at the stock market, okay? And you've heard me on the show say several times that the stock market is not telling the story. Here's a perfect example of how that is. Okay. We talked a lot in early 2018 and late 2017 about the suppression of volatility, how people were selling volatility short, and how so many of these high frequency trading programs and trading algorithms, one of the major inputs is volatility. So when volatility drops, they buy more stock. There's also a bunch of volatility-based indexes. A lot of them are really good. Not knocking on that approach at all. Makes sense. Worked well. Okay, but what we see is these things are continually selling volatility short, which that alone pushes down volatility. And here's the problem. Volatility, the way we think of it, the VIX index, was looking at implied volatility of stocks. So VIX was intended to be the gauge that is reading stocks. Well, now that people can trade volatility, oftentimes volatility is the thing driving stocks one way or the other. Which is why we had the volatility implosion at the beginning of 2018. That had nothing to do with stocks. That had to do with way too many short people shorting volatility, and it's only inevitable, especially the more people that short it. Think of it like a compressed spring, right? The further you compress that spring, it's inevitably going to bounce back. Your hand gets tired, whatever, you got to leave the room, right? The spring is going to bounce back, and the more it's compressed, the higher it bounces. And that's what happened. And then when it bounced through the roof and drove stocks down by as much as 1,200 points on the Dow in a single day. So you had the tail wagging the dog. Now, right now, volatility is back to getting sold short again. We're approaching levels that we weren't at till the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. People have short memories. Right back to short and vol. What could go wrong? Here's the other thing, though. It's even being shorted at greater lengths because people are selling call or put options. Okay, if you sell a put option, that means you're actually hoping something goes up in price. If you buy a put option, you're hoping it goes down. But if you sell a put option, you're hoping, well, and people are doing this. Pension funds are selling put options because it increases their yield, right? They sell the put option, they get the premium for the put option. And if the stock goes up, then they don't have to pay out and they keep the money. Why are they trying to increase their yield? Because of record low interest rates. And what we are seeing is there's a record amount of options being sold to increase yield, which is further suppressing volatility. So the tail is wagging the dog. It's yet another reason why you can't just look at the stock market and go, everything's fine. It's not, guys. There are massive structural problems. Would they be significantly worse had Trump not got elected and put his tax cuts into play? Absolutely. But he inherited a mess. You can be pro-Trump and still be cynical or worried about the global economy. You can be pro-Trump and still be careful regarding record valuations and record high stock markets and record high bonds. And if you hear from anybody that valuations aren't at records, we've talked about this at massive length. They're looking at one. We're looking at 10. 9 out of 10 are at or near record highs. There's only one. The price-to-earnings ratio, which we've told you a million times, is the most easily manipulated, and it's still a good 35 to 40% above its historical average. Does this mean the world's falling apart tomorrow? No, it doesn't. But it means you need a risk management strategy. It's not a binary outcome. It's not a one or zero. We're going into 2020 with God knows what coming out of the election, the longest bull market in history, greatest amount of corporate debt, greatest amount of government debt, greatest amount of consumer debt, economy clearly slowing down here and around the world, people like Elizabeth Sanders out at the front of the day. Guys, gosh dang it. Get a second opinion. Look at your risk. Especially lower your fees, right? That's a known risk. That's something we can do. Like I said, lower the other people's $15,000 a year. That was enough to pay for their long-term care insurance. There's a better way to do it, and it doesn't mean you're not going to perform as well. We can increase your upside, lower your fees, lower your risk, and we just show it to you. We just sit there. We run it through our software. Not ours. It's a third party. We are not able to rig it. That's not how it works. You put the data in, it spits it out. You see it for yourself. There's a better way to do it, guys. Like I told Jerry in the break, we're changing the world one portfolio at a time. Now's a great time to have a risk management strategy. Has been. So give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Sign up for the podcast on mynorthwest.com or Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher. We're on Stitcher. download the Roger Ibbotson off of our his academic research paper off of bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. If you don't want to call us, you can email in off of bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. We can do things over the phone, meet in person, whatever you want. We got to run. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Have a great weekend. Go Hawks, and happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you again next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.